we head to Australia for a conversation with Ron Wilson. He's written a fascinating book about a man called Joseph Akeroyd, rediscovering a prison reformer. And, you know, we've talked a lot about prisons on this show. And for Ron, so much of his life, prison education, corrections, and he saw what was happening. And it got that curiosity about a man who was there in a time when you talk about the 20s, 30s, and 40s, think about that, what that would be like, and how he was really miscast in history. And it's fascinating what Ron has done in this book. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Kate. I'm delighted to be able to talk with you.
So I asked you this question off the air. What made you decide you were going to dig into his background? Why'd you do this book?
Kate, I started teaching in the prison system. This is back in 1977. And from that period of time, I sort of had developed a real passion into the importance of the role of education within the prison environment. And it was coming through that period of time where Victoria was quite a unique prison environment, and Victoria is a state or a jurisdiction, a state of within Australia. What happened in the way that prison education was managed in Victoria at that time was so different from other jurisdictions in Australia, but also quite different from other jurisdictions in the world. And each school, each prison was, in actual fact, a registered school. It was funded, the education was funded by the education department. It was staffed by teachers who were the same teachers delivering the same curriculum and programs as what was happening in the much broader community. And over the period of time, I started to wonder, why is it so different? What was it so different about Victoria that it's gone down that path to do that and have that strong focus in the importance of education within a prison environment? And I'm talking about prisons, I'm also talking about juvenile justice areas. The same thing was happening in Victoria. And as I started to explore that further, I started to get an emergence, or get a feeling, get a knowledge that things changed in the 1920s in Victoria, and quite a significant change. And the more I delved into trying to find out that, it emerged that this fellow, Joseph Akeroyd, was at the core. Now, I didn't know a huge amount of Joseph Akeroyd, and what I did know about him and the way that people talked about him is recorded as saying that he was a really hardline guy, pro-punishment and the like. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's interesting. But I also knew and found out that he was a teacher immediately before he came into the prison environment. He was an inspector of the schools. He actually served in World War One, was injured in World War One, came back to the education and went straight from education, from being an inspector of schools, into being the inspector general of the prisons, and held that role for being the longest service held for over almost 30 years. And he was probably pivotal in this one. And I thought it'd be interesting to try and find out a bit more about Joseph Akeroyd. And what was driving him, and what was the motivations of that period of time?
Wow.
I was lucky enough.
And what did you find out? I mean, take us right there. What did you find out that maybe surprised you or just kind of popped out at you?
Well, I was really lucky enough to actually, it's probably a tap on the shoulder saying that there's a whole series of papers of Joseph Akeroyd's personal diaries and his personal papers, his official papers, letters that he'd kept and letters that he'd sent, copies of them all, they're all on records. And I was lucky enough to be able to tap on the shoulder saying, if you want to know about him, find out a bit more. So what I did through was actually go through all of these diaries and all of these papers and just the most extraordinary wealth of information, insights into Joseph Akeroyd. And what I did find out was he was a man who came into his role with the strong commitment to saying, as an educator, using the principles in terms of education principles and the principles of teaching, this is the way, he would say, this is what he did say, this is the way that prisons should be managed. They should be managed on the principles of education and the principles of teaching. So that set the platform to think, how did he do that? And given if we talked about that time, 1920s, you know, from 1924 and that period of time between the two world wars, between over the Great Depression, after the Spanish flu pandemic that was coming right through all of Australia and particularly hit Victoria as well. What happened in this area that this guy started to bring these significant changes about the way prisons managed when reform just wasn't on the agenda anywhere in the world, particularly in prison education space? And it was through his motivation, his commitment to these principles, that he started to introduce these reforms. Prisons up to then were punitive. You know, people saw the role to be purely punishment. That's what they were there for. They were there to be, you know, for people who put away to be punished. And with the intent, some ways that the punishment might change people, but the reality is, they were there to be punished for particular behaviours. Aykroyd, in his educational principles, said, nah, what we've got to do is actually start to have a look at why these people are in prison. What's happened to the, look at, the, as he you quote in the book, look at the man. What's the background? What's happened to this man that he's ended up in a prison environment? And so a lot of his records are starting for him to start to have the stories and conversations with individual prisoners, started to take, he personally took case studies of a range of these prisoners to start to work and say, what happened to this fellow? What do we need to do that's going to help him become a, using Aykroyd's terms, a productive member of our society? And so he started to really formalise the ways that we started to look at and analyse the people, their needs, their background, their needs, and implement a treatment, what he called a therapeutic or a treatment-based approach rather than the punitive approach. And that therein led the major conflict for Aykroyd in that time. And I say that because the conflict was that as the Inspector General, he was expected to carry out the mandates of the court. He was expected to make sure that the hangings took place, that the whippings that were mandated by the court, and whippings and birchings were practiced in those days. He had to make sure that those things were carried out. They were very punitive actions. Yet here he was as an educationalist. The major conflict that occurred from Aykroyd was how did he, and how was he able to reconcile the implementation and the management of these significant punitive events whilst maintaining his principles and his values as an educator. And one of the things I'll share with you, Kate, that again, it's in the book, but it's something that I thought was really important, is that he knew that he could not fight against the mandate and the pressure of the courts and what the courts expected, nor of the politicians at the time, of what they expected, what was important to them in the way that they managed law and order and so on. But he didn't lose the commitment to his education principles. So what he did, and again, I've got some evidence of that in the book that's, I think, really fascinating reading, is that he started to have conversations with the prisoners who were about to be whipped, as an example. And he would converse with them, have a conversation with them before the whipping. Personally, he would do this. And then after the whipping, but he would ask the question, he's got this recorded. He said, what did you learn from this experience? So he had to turn the punishment into a learning experience. And this is the way that he started to try and reconcile his approach to dealing with the fact of those things that he couldn't change, but turn it into a way that he was able to then accommodate that within himself with those guys who were going to be hanged. Now, he applied the similar sort of a structure. Now, he couldn't have the conversations with someone after they've been hanged, but what he did do was able to have the conversations with other prisoners around, saying, what did this experience of you being so close to a hanging, what did it tell you? What did you learn from that? What was the experience that you gained? So he would have those conversations. But also, in his papers, he had letters. And these letters were received from those prisoners who were about to be hanged. he kept letters of transactions that, of these conversations that the prisoners had with people who'd written to them. Yeah, some people who'd learned about them saying, okay, you've been sentenced to hang. You know, some people are saying, yeah, we're going to give you some comfort, whatever it may be, you know, try to give some spiritual comfort about going to, but also what it did is start to garner the experience of these prisoners as saying, well, I know that I have been sentenced to hang. I've got an appeal. I'm hopeful that I can get it overturned at the appeal. So he's got the letters of this hope that, that things might be overturned in the appeal. Then after the appeal, the realization that the appeal was turned down and they're going to die. Now, here are the letters coming up talking about people coming to grips with their own mortality, to knowing that they're going to die at a particular period of time and how they translated and communicated that with others. It's fascinating, Begat, again, from Aykroyd's perspective, these are how he translated these punitive events into learning experiences, and how did others learn, and how do we communicate that and connect that with community about learning about what happens in a prison environment, what happens in the way that the treatment programs run, what happens in terms of understanding the lives of people that lead up to these catastrophic events for individuals that's resulted in harm to someone, but also have this significant impact on the individual, in some cases ending their life.
Yeah, perfect place to end this. Joseph Aykroyd, fascinating man, rediscovering a prison reformer. Ron Wilson, wow, bravo, digging all that up and putting that together. And you can get that on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever great books are sold. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kat. I really appreciate the time and I enjoyed talking with you. Thank you so much.